the near post. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first, if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Hi and welcome to the near post. This is Near Post Radio. We are talking Australian football soccer, even if that is a word. We are talking it across the Australian Community Radio Network. I am Patrick Bordier, and in me in the studio are the two Nicks. We've got a Nick up. We've got Numbers Nick.
Paddy, how are you?
Very, very good, Numbers Nick. And we have Nick the Genius, Nick the Student. How are you going, Nick?
Yeah, pretty good. Well, slept in till 12 o'clock, so I'm nice and well rested today.
Excellent. There's nothing we like better than hearing how you spend your days resting and watching football.
I slept in till 6:45 yesterday.
Coming up in the next half hour, we've got action-packed show.
We do.
Action-packed. We've got the AFL versus the NRL. We've got some TVW League.
Why do we care about the AFL versus the NRL?
Well, you will find out. Exactly right, Nick. We've got Socceroos and Clichés Ahoy. And if we get time, there's a bit of Biffo on the show.
There is.
Now, as we go into it, I just want to say that if you have an inquiry, you'd simply like to tell us how much you like the show, you can do so on our email, nearpostradio@gmail.com. Now, Numbers Nick, you look after the email and the mailbag.
I do.
How are we going there? Is it floundering under the weight of mail?
There is, and the range of unique opportunities presented through our Gmail account continues.
Fantastic. What opportunity do we have this week?
Well, this week we got to a new improved way of looking at our credit card statement.
Okay, great. So we signed up to that, obviously?
Oh, of course. We didn't even have a credit card.
So we went out, got a credit card, and now we're signed up to the statement. Now, if you're really keen on hearing about our credit card details, alternatively, you want to listen to football on the podcast, you can go to www.nearpost.blogspot.com and on iTunes as well as halftimeheroes.com.au. Now, every week we have a dedication, and the dedication this week's show is to family.
Mm.
I have just spent some time with family. Went back down to Adelaide. So I haven't been on the show for last week, but big respect to family looking after babies and helping us out. But this week the theme is family and babies. And Melissa Barbieri, the captain of the Matildas,
has just
announced that she's pregnant and going to have a baby.
Yeah,
so
off to her.
Goalkeeper and captain Matildas, our show is dedicated to you.
Do we know if the father's a good athlete?
You're planning ahead already.
Going to do some gene doping of our own.
Well, the gold-plated standard is Josh Kennedy is married to Jacinta Hamilton, who's a former Australian basketball representative. So
yes,
they don't have pretty athletically gifted kids. There's something wrong.
And the AIS continues to build on its strategic development program. Now, on a personal note, a bit of a shout out to Auntie Sam today. Auntie Sam, Amy's sister, who regularly comes in and helps Amy look after the kids while I do the radio show. So just, throwing a personal note there.
Are we going to get on to the football now?
No, we're not, because we're moving on to our question of the week. And because I'm all family and I'm all babies and isn't life
great?
Yeah,
I'm passing out.
I'm looking
due to
for
lack of interest.
I'm looking for Nick the Genius. I'm looking for your biggest family football influence.
Biggest family football influence.
That's right.
Well, that definitely has to be my dad.
That's your dad?
Yeah. Coached me for 10 years. Not at the start, actually. Started under 8s, kept going to under 18s.
No, I met your dad. He's a big fella. He's a central defender, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. He used to play stopper in the same youth team as Graham Arnold.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, he was captain of the team. Graham Arnold was vice captain.
Big respect.
Yeah.
And Numbers Nick, you're not necessarily from a football family per se. I think you've taken that on yourself. Biggest sport, football influence in your family?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, you were mocking me before for it, but I'm glad we carried
through.
Well,
all this talk about family coming from you is just incongruous. Well, I do an older brother who is a state representative in hockey, and now a sister-in-law who went to the last Olympics is high-performance coach for New Zealand hockey, but Yeah, look, you can't go past Mum and Dad. They were the ones who drove me to training at West Woden Juventus when I was a kid. You can't knock that.
Yeah, I says big respect to parents out there who drive their kids all over. All right, fantastic. And this week, as previously mentioned, we've got the various themes to the show. Keen to talk about the big news of David Gallop moving into the FFA CEO position and Buckley stepping down, and Socceroos and W League and whatnot. But this week we've got the news and numbers. Nick, you're going to read the news for us.
All good. So speaking of numbers, apparently the FFA are keeping a close eye on the fortunes of Newcastle Jets owner Nathan Tinkler, with revelations that he's been forced into a fire sale of his thoroughbred racing business to keep his cash flow solvent.
Tinkler, the heart of Newcastle,
The heart of Newcastle, yeah. Who would have thought that high-flying mining magnate could fall hard? So West Sydney Wanderers have announced the signing of Jerome Polenz, a 25-year-old German. He's the third import to join the new A-League club. He's played in Germany with Werder Bremen, Alemanni Aachen, and more recently Union Berlin, and is a former national rep at under-19 and under-20.
That level. Sounds all very good on paper. I'm well impressed with that signing. He's not completely over the hill. That's the first indicator I look for.
Well, you never know. Nick Junior, you're the expert on scouting new foreign imports.
It's a very interesting off-season so far. There's been a lot of phasing out of previous imports and just bringing a lot of more Ange Postecoglou sort of style imports, the unheralded second division or third tier, sometimes fourth, I think we've had so far come through. Those are some pretty reputable clubs, especially Werder Bremen. Union Berlin's actually one of the stronger sides of the second division at the moment, so if he's come from there playing consistently, I think he'll do well.
I've done a little bit of, research, could mean Googling, one of those two.
You've watched a few YouTube clips?
And he's played there, but he's actually come through a variety of different leagues. So while they say junior international, yep, at one point, and yes, at one point he did play high level in German football, but he's been a bit of a journeyman. But still, I think that sort of signing, somebody that you're not going knee-jerk reaction as in from a good club who's way past it, I think that's the sort of signings we're looking for.
Mm. Speaking of new signings, Melbourne Heart are poised to sign former Socceroo Richard Garcia, subject to a medical
Hull's
exam.
Richard Garcia.
Hull's Richard Garcia. He's played, I think, 3 years with Hull, only managed 10 matches last year due to injury, and apparently they're looking at him to fill their hole at central defence, given with the departures of Brendan Hamill and Curtis Good.
Wow, Jason Gregory's favourite player. What do you think, Garcia, Nick the Genius?
Wait, so did you say Richard Garcia playing central defence?
Yep,
yeah.
That's what they're looking at.
That is
he's an attacking midfielder.
I swear, I specifically just remember him playing up front in that first game in the 2010 World Cup.
I've repressed all memory
of
that
thinking,
game.
Okay, so I suppose if he didn't score any goals for us in the World Cup, he might be able to keep the ball out of the Melbourne Heart net.
My therapist has told me I need to stop thinking about this game. So the FFA have come down heavily on the players involved in a violent brawl in a trial game between Newcastle Jets and Wellington Phoenix. The Jets defender Thiago Calvano and Phoenix midfielder Manny Muscat have received the harshest penalties, with 4-game suspensions each. Ben Sigmund has also received a 3-match ban, and Phoenix captain Andrew Durante has received a 2-match ban. Is it just the Muscat surname? Is that what causes trouble?
That brings on the fight? Yeah, well, it's a bit weak, isn't it? In a preseason game, preseason friendly, these two teams going at each other. Let's save the handbags for later, boys.
I suppose it's a nice build up to the A-League season. Two not really traditionally rival teams that are starting to build something.
Nice, I like it. It's a good angle.
It's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. So there'll be a bit of fire between those teams. We should find out when they first meet, and that is in the A-League season.
Some news for you, Nick. The Central Coast Mariners have wrapped up its 2-game tour of New Caledonia with a 4-2 win over the host side, with striker Mitchell Duke scoring twice and Troy Hairfield and Bernie Abini also getting on the score sheet.
Yeah, it's a good start to our preseason, and there's been all the new signings have had a go as well, which is nice to see.
So the rumour has it that we've got a couple of rumours. So Eric Partaloo, the two-time title-winning midfielder from Brisbane Roar, is apparently on the wish list from United Arab Emirates club Banias.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, that's an interesting... Because he's quite young, isn't he?
I think he's 25, 26.
All right, okay.
Still, so relatively young to go to the Middle East, let's say.
Yeah.
Well, apparently they're looking at quadrupling his salary.
Well, they would do, and then even that would be still cheap because the A-League salary isn't up. Wow, that's quite interesting. Mm. All I know about Patalu is his brother is a lawyer. There you go.
There you go. There are also rumours that the transfer for Melbourne Heart young gun Ellie Babage is... in some doubt following the sacking of Red Star Belgrade coach Robert Posinski.
Come home, Ellie, come home.
And buy him $500,000, loan him back for just a season and then release him at the end of his contract. Sounds like a plan.
Finally, some on-field action. Young Australian attacker Matthew Leckie, and former New Post favourite.
What do you mean former? He's still my favourite.
Yeah. Okay,
we don't talk about him as much.
He's got to bring himself back into favouritism.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And will he do so?
Well, he scored his second goal in as many games to help FCV Frankfurt defeat Sonnenholt Grossenspark 2-1 in Germany's second division on the weekend.
In a proper game or in
proper
a friendly
game?
Oh, yeah. Wow,
the league kicked off this weekend. So.
Oh, that's great. Well, go Matthew Leckie.
Not so inspiring. Adam Federici has had a tough Premier League debut after letting in a bit of a howler of a goal in Reading's 1-1 draw with Stoke City on the weekend.
Ah, that happens. Federici, he's still class, isn't he?
I think so. His manager's come out strongly supporting him, but has anyone seen it?
It was a bit unfortunate. Obviously, it came at his near post. He was really close to it. His arms just
Did he not get there
went
first?
Towards the ball, and he just kind of missed it. It just went straight under his right arm into the net. It was a pretty tame shot. It should have been saved.
Federici, we still love you.
Mm.
Now, thank you very much. You're on the Near Post. We're talking Australian football across the Radio Community Network and on 2XX locally, as well as on a podcast for those podcasting. That covers all four of our listeners. Moving on, boys, I want to talk AFL. I want to talk NRL and specifically Ben Buckley and David Gallup. So some big news today. And the big news is that Ben Buckley, after the negotiation of the TV deal for the FFA, will be stepping down. And David Gallup, former NRL CEO, will be stepping up.
Mm.
It's a pretty interesting appointment, I have to say. Obviously, Buckley being removed from his position is going to help be a strong point for a lot of football fans. They haven't really been convinced with his job. Gallup's an interesting appointment because he's really seen the NRL to the top of its marketing gains, I guess, and overseen a lot of successful expansion.
I think David Gallup's done a pretty good job playing the hand he's been dealt. Like, at the NRL's, it's a very good TV product. I don't think the timing of this is coincidental, but they've just announced a new $1 billion TV deal today. And David Gallup's done a good job sort of cleaning up some of the, let's call it the booze and strippers element of the game, not tolerating violence against women. I've been pretty impressed with the job he's done of a difficult job.
So stick with me. What's going on here? I'm not quite sure I understand the whole thing. Ben Buckley, who was hired to do the TV deal, is going to see out his contract till he does the TV deal, which is his area of expertise. Then he's going to respectfully and, dare I say, strategically step down.
Yep.
Gallup, who's a tough administrator, ready for the time ahead, appears to be the man for the job, is going to step up. It all just seems really well thought out and well done.
Oh, no.
Where are the cracks?
My one question is that
okay.
With Ben Buckley going, all I have to do is negotiate this TV deal and then I'm out. Okay, cool. Is he really going to give 100% when negotiating it?
I think his career depends on it.
His legacy depends on it, like how he's perceived. A lot of the you know, angst over the World Cup bid will, I think, be forgotten to some extent if he delivers a big TV deal, ensures the future of the A-League.
All right. Okay, well, let's play a very popular game in this TV studio called I'm David Gallop. It's the I'm David Gallop game. All right, guys, imagine I'm David Gallop.
Yeah.
What are the challenges ahead? What have I got to face over the next, let's say my term is 3 to 4 years? Numbers, Nick.
No clubs going broke in that time.
Yep.
Developing a long-term expansion plan.
What about, and this is the big one, and this is the international, what about Japan? Japan are our big competitors in terms of the way that football is being sold in the Asian region or being perceived. Japan is doing a great job developing its players. Its players are high-profile players.
Are you saying
it's doing
that
well as a team?
Japan is the new Netherlands?
This is what I'm saying. Is Japan the new Netherlands? Because also, in the women's game, Japan is a great team. And they're the ones that
and
beat
youth,
Australia
youth
to...
youth level for men's tournaments as well. They're really starting to come
That's
along.
That's right. So you've got your women's pathways, some youth pathways, men's team, Matildas. Should I, as David Gallop, be looking towards Japan as our as our key partners?
And good question. Mm. I think for him sort of staying out of the way of the technical arguments and just getting the best people and giving them the mandate to go out and sort this stuff out, get the right resources in the right location, and sort of let's avoid someone who's made a name for himself running the NRL from making technical decisions on whether or not our junior teams should be playing a 4-3-3.
But what about an administrator from another coach? Surely he doesn't know anything about football.
Surely he would know like the basic rules of the game. Obviously, he's not really going to take over a position in a sport that he doesn't even know like the basic rules of.
So is a good administrator a good administrator?
I think a good sports administrator is
a good
I
think John O'Neill has to be the key example here. He thrived in both rugby and in his football federation position. So,
well, I for one, I'm really happy with the whole deal. I think Buckley has handled himself very well under tight circumstances, and I'm looking forward to Gallup's work.
I think it's good that Buckley's moving on.
Well, that's part of him handling himself well. You know, there is a time to when you've run your race, and whether rightly or wrongly, you know, frustrations are at the point where he can't progress things the way he wants to.
You know, isn't a high point.
Were we going to go with that?
Look, I think West Sydney has been a good decision, but I think it's time to move on.
So we're going to see Gallup at the head of the FFA as we head to Brazil in the next World Cup?
Yep.
Wow.
I think we're going to see him before the end of the year.
Yeah. I believe before the end of the year. Mm. Now, you did mention TV earlier, and I do want to get into that, but I'll just mention to people that you're listening to Near Post Football Radio Show. We're talking football across the Australian Radio Community Network. And with me are the two Nicks. I've got Numbers Nicks and Genius, Football Genius Nick. Mm. it's a regular Nick up. Now, TV. We talked about Buckley ending his time with the FFA after negotiating the deal. Now, the talk is that he'll be negotiating a deal for $40 million.
That's the talk? That's some pretty reasonable numbers.
That's some reasonable numbers, but I look at the AFL and the NRL. The NRL, who's just done their figures, and they're at $1 billion. Numbers, Nick, this is a question for you. What's the difference, apart from lots of money?
Lots more people watch the NRL.
Yeah, far more teams to draw support from, obviously. A greater number of matches, I believe, actually. Just 25 rounds or whatever, and more games in those rounds.
They also have the Toyota Cup. So I can understand why the negotiations are taking a while, because it's a fairly complicated package of international games,
State
A-League
of Origin
games, potentially the FFA Cup. So.
Now, some TV news that broke my heart over the last week is the W League, which has been supported by the ABC and has shown one live game. Now, I'll say W League, but it's also for the NBL as well.
Yep.
Both of those have lost their regular games, and they're going to be their sport essentially is going to be compressed into an on live TV one-hour highlights package.
So is that highlights from every game or just one game?
I think it... Well, I don't know, to be honest.
I would assume it would be just like 2 to 3 games because I think a lot of the grounds that they play these games at, there isn't really like the kind of facilities for.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I might not have facilities for filming each of them. But I think that's tough, isn't it? Is that a step backwards?
It's a step backwards, yeah.
Because
there's no other way
on Twitter, and the way it's being spun is that you can do live streaming now, and it's particularly good for the Olympics, and certainly for women's game, which didn't maybe get the in the Olympics, which is important tournament, didn't maybe get the television time it shouldn't, and there were lots of suggestions you just can stream games live. But that is a step backwards.
It's not a
great way to watch a game. It's a tough step for the W League. What do they need to do? Consolidate? Continue putting out a good product? Because they are putting out a good product.
Yeah, I'd say so. Canberra United, very well supported, but apparently TV ratings have slipped a little in last couple of years. Yeah, tough decision. Disappointing decision from our national broadcaster, I must say.
Yeah, it is disappointing, and I hope that they are able to stretch out and form a better deal. Whilst the live streaming is an option, I think we're several years from people actually moving in that direction as their mainstream way of getting information.
Just speaking for myself, like being bothered to hook up the computer to the television so I can watch it on a great big flat screen instead of a laptop.
Unless you want to get one of those smart TVs, but really, who really has $5,000 to spend on a TV that also does the internet for like 3 hours a day?
Well, Nick the Genius, or also Nick the Student, isn't everybody watching TVs, sports through live streaming these days?
I have to admit, on the university campus, the internet is a lot better because there's a lot more people using it. So you can do that sort of thing. But for the general public, a lot of people don't have the kind of internet quality that they need to watch this sort of stuff like at a proper speed.
And I'd rather look at a big screen rather than a small screen.
All right.
Call me crazy.
Well, I think we're all agreed that it is disappointing for the W League, but we have to be realistic, and there are options to watch the games, and the crowds will continue to come as they do. So very sad for the W League. Talking W League, we're talking international football on Near Post Radio. I want to mention the Australian football team, the Socceroos.
Yep.
Socceroos had a game against, and I'm going to say it, lowly Scotland.
Fair enough.
Because Scotland haven't been doing very well over the last decade or so.
Some very confident predictions on
last week. Nick the Genius, what was the score?
It was, I actually can't remember.
It was 3-1, I believe. Yeah.
I was going to say 4-1, so I was
okay,
close.
Good.
But yes, a very embarrassing result indeed for basically first choice of starting 11, I believe, minus a few players. But still, the majority, that core of the side was there.
Yeah, it was pretty harsh. It's not a harsh result, but it's an indication where the Socceroos are now. I talked about cliches at the beginning of the show, and the cliches I've been hearing in the reports is that it's a wake-up call, it's never got to lose, but in a friendly, this is a possible time. Is that the case, or are we just an old, tired team?
Much a bit better to lose in a friendly. I don't know about old and tired.
You don't know that we're...
Well, I feel like
the second goal was conceded by 21-year-old Jason Davidson. So
yeah, well, but there's not a lot of those, it was his debut, and that's a harsh way to start a debut. There's no doubt. Nonetheless, I think part of my issue with the Socceroos is it's like going to your favourite pizza restaurant. The food is good. But you know what you're going to get, and it's the same old stuff. There's no variation on the menu. Socceroos, and it's not for want of trying, we don't have much variation in terms of players and tactics and stuff.
No, it is frustrating that Chris Hurd just cannot. He pulled out of the team for the third time.
I know. And why can't Scott McDonald score? I mean, these are the questions we regularly go through.
Good question.
Yeah, and he's now starting to lose the goods at club level as well, which is a very worrying sign.
So Scott McDonald consistently scored at club level, but wasn't
prolific in Scotland, and now he's come down, and he started off well enough, but just doesn't really seem to be cutting it lately.
Seems to be on the outer.
It's just a critical loss of confidence Middlesbrough. In front of goal.
I'm hoping we start to see guys, and Holger has mentioned guys like Matthew Leckie are on the radar, and that if they perform for their club teams, you know, they'll get their chance.
Yeah, but I agree. It seems to be that sort of gap of there's guys trying to make their big break in Europe, and we seem to be dropping off in terms of numbers of high-level players. Maybe
that's true.
Certainly Hogger's got a massive job ahead of him. I hear some ridiculous statements about Hogger should go, but I think
that is nonsense.
It's crazy, but you know, I want to see some. Yeah, you can only work with what
you've got.
All right. Talking about working what you've got, we're Near Post Radio. With me are the two Nicks, Nick the Numbers and Nick the Genius. Bit of biffo on the weekend.
There was.
Newcastle versus Phoenix. It was on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
Good for sport or not? Nick the Genius.
Well, a lot of people say any publicity is good publicity, but when it's really that to that level of violence, I think you've really got to question what's going on there. Players aren't really, you know, there hasn't really been a scuff like that since Berisha and Bosch faced off in Suncorp. So
yeah, for me, the strength of the A-League is as a real family game. So yeah, I don't think it's good.
Yeah, it was. It is pre-season, and okay, yeah, like I was saying, handbags were flying around. I'm caught between that view that it is getting a lot of media attention, and that's good for football. But you want to see football being embraced for the beautiful sport that it is.
Well,
less beautiful when grown men are punching each other in the face.
That's true, and we sort of a small recurrence of the bad old days last week off field with the brawl at the. Sydney
yeah, the Western Sydney Wanderers supporters apparently turned up to a Sydney FC trial and started causing some trouble, which was a bit of a throwback to the NSL.
Yeah, breathlessly days. Reported in the media. I really hope they get that sorted out. I think it was only a small thing last week, but it could really mar. What's otherwise?
Looking up to be a pretty good season.
The off-field stuff for the Wanderers has been going fantastically well.
All right. Well, you know, they were the bad old days, and we are in the good new days, so we should not be seeing any further that.
Let's keep it that way.
And we'll just end with that. And if you're on the Near Post...
get there first.
The Near Post. Get there first. Don't get there second. Don't get there third. The Near Post. Get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The Near Post. Get there first.